Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, February 5th. First, today we have a story from the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KUNC. The fundraising totals for the fourth quarter of 2019 were recently announced for Colorado's Senate race. Former Governor John Hickenlooper has the highest fundraising totals for the quarter, with $2.8 million raised. Incumbent Republican Senator Cory Gardner is close behind with $2 million. Gardner has more cash on hand, with $7.7 million compared to Hickenlooper's $3.2 million. Kyle Saunders is a professor of political science at Colorado State University.
But it's still very rare for an incumbent to be outraised by a challenger, especially this far out from the general election.
Following Hickenlooper and Gardner is former Speaker of the Colorado House of Representatives, Andrew Romanoff, who raised $300,000 in the fourth quarter and now has just over $688,000 on hand. This is from the Colorado News Connection. House Bill 201092, designed to expand access to primary health care, is scheduled for a committee hearing today. Eric Galatis has the story.
Colorado lawmakers are considering a bill that would expand access to telemedicine through Colorado's community health centers, which provide care for 27% of the state's Medicaid clients. Currently, centers are not reimbursed by Medicaid for remote visits, but House Bill 1092 would affirm that telemedicine services meet the definition of a face-to-face visit. Polly Anderson with the Colorado Community Health Network says remote visits are sometimes a patient's best option, especially during flu season.
When you're sick and you might be contagious, to the extent that some of that can be diagnosed through symptom description or what your temperature is, keeps that sick person out of the waiting room. They're not waiting there next to a child maybe that's there for a well baby visit.
Telemedicine cuts travel and wait times dramatically. Patients need only pick up their smartphone or sit down at a computer at their appointed time. The measure is set to be heard by the Public Health Care and Human Services Committee on Wednesday. An estimate of any additional costs the bill might add to the state's Medicaid tab has not yet been issued. Anderson says telemedicine is especially convenient for people with chronic conditions such as diabetes and high blood pressure, where a doctor-patient relationship is already established. The state's homeless population should also benefit. Social workers can connect clients with medical care from any place with cell service. Anderson also believes the measure will reduce Colorado's overall Medicaid expenses because more people will be able to access primary care.
Primary care is a key component in preventing and treating illnesses before they get worse, before they would result in an emergency room visit or, worse, in a hospital admission.
The measure would also allow the costs of clinical pharmacists, a key part of a health center's team-based approach, to be included in reports submitted to Medicaid for reimbursement. Clinical pharmacists help ensure patients get the best medicine available at the best price and avoid negative interactions between medications. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Across the United States, more than 56 million acres of private land have been voluntarily conserved through land trusts. That's twice the acreage of all national parks in the lower 48 states. KVNF's Jody Peterson has a story on recent conservation from two Western Slope land trusts.
More than 2,000 acres of Western Slope lands were recently protected by two local land trusts. In San Miguel and Montrose counties, a landowner set up a conservation easement on more than 1,300 acres. That easement, created through the Montezuma Land Conservancy, retires 20 potential home sites. Instead, the land will be maintained as habitat for elk, mule deer, wild turkeys, and the endangered Gunnison sage grouse. In Mesa County, the Colorado West Land Trust worked with a family to conserve their 700-acre ranch near Uinoweep Canyon. The land will continue to be grazed by a local rancher and also hosts elk, deer, black bear, and mountain lion. Across the Western Slope, more than 193,000 acres have been protected by various land trusts, along with nearly 500 miles of rivers, lakes, and streams. Their goal is to permanently preserve agricultural, open space, and natural values, even if the property sells. Land trusts protect land by either buying it or paying a landowner to limit their right to develop the land. Landowners can also donate property in easements and then receive a break on both federal and state income taxes. Other recent examples of projects by Western Slope Land Trusts include conservation easements on 1,300 acres north of Norwood, 2,100 acres of farmland and wildlife habitat in Mesa and Delta counties, and 200 acres of Montrose County farmland. In Grand Junction, Colorado West Land Trust recently helped raise money and secure land to extend a mountain bike trail. A study by Colorado State University found that every dollar invested in conservation easements returns an estimated $4 to $12 in public benefits, such as wildlife protection, clean air and water, scenic views, and soil retention. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
And with more from the Colorado News Connection, Eric Gladys reports that census takers in Colorado are getting extra training to make sure that people with disabilities are counted.
People with disabilities make up 22% of the American public, but they remain largely undercounted in the U.S. Census Bureau's once-a-decade population tally. The Colorado Cross Disability Coalition is just one group working to get an accurate count in this year's census. In Colorado, $13 billion a year for a broad range of programs is at stake. Judy McCree Carrington with the coalition says taking part is critical to ensuring that all Coloradans get the medical care, education, transportation and other services they need.
Historically, people with disabilities have been undercounted during the census. Being undercounted means less funding, less representation, and often misguided business decisions in our Colorado communities.
Some people have shied away from being counted, concerned that personal information could interfere with Social Security or other benefits, especially when they've waited years to receive critical services. Participation by people with disabilities goes up when surveys are conducted in partnership with trusted community groups and when people can fill out the forms in churches or community centers. The census form does not record a person's disability status, and the Census Bureau never shares personal information with Social Security or other government agencies. By federal law, all data is protected and records are confidential. Carrington says she hopes this year's census numbers demonstrate just how much people with disabilities count in Colorado.
The survey only takes 10 minutes and could determine funding for the next 10 years. It's safe, easy, and secure. This census, let's make sure we're counted.
By April 1st, all households will receive an invitation to participate in the census, and forms can be completed online or by calling a toll-free phone number, where people can also request Braille, large print, and American Sign Language versions of the census form. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, February 5th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.